Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness. It's time to have new conversations about mental health. Join Mara James as she guides us along this journey. And now, let's talk wellness.
Welcome to Let's Talk Wellness. I am your host, Mara James, and I want to say thank you for joining us today. These conversations are all about taking a deeper dive into the understanding of how we can help support our children and families to have better mental health and wellness. Let's Talk Wellness is brought to you by the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to improve children's mental health and wellness. You can find out all of the information about ELF and more episodes at elfempowers.org, and you can find this link in the show information. Now, let's talk wellness with today's host, Dr. Anna Luna. Dr. Anna is a counseling psychologist and obtained her PhD at New Mexico State University. She's also a Reiki master / teacher, certified yoga instructor, and a trained Ayurveda counselor. Woof. Welcome, Dr. Anna.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really happy to be here, Mara. Excited for our conversation.
Yeah, me too. So we're going to discuss a lot of good things today. One of the overall topics is self-care to help parents be the best parents they can be. With that, let's start talking about the Ayurveda. You said that there are three pillars to that. So if you could share with us about that.
Yes, the three pillars of health in Ayurveda are the first one is nutrition, food. And then the second one is sleep. Mm. And the final one is moderation.
Wow. And when we're talking about these, are we talking about these for the parent, for the child, for everybody?
For everyone, yes, because our, yes, for everybody.
Okay, so let's start with the first, nutrition, in terms for the parents and for the children.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, food has changed so much over the last 20, 30 years, and now we have to be aware of all the different chemicals and the ways that they process the foods, because all of that impacts our body. So finding the best food available is getting a little bit more challenging in certain settings and certain places. So we want to have as much fresh food as we possibly can, the freshest food available. And then combining that with the moderation component, the moderation pillar, everything in moderation, whatever we're consuming, we want to pay attention to how much of it we're consuming. And then with Ayurveda, we're looking at the cycles of life, the seasons. So we pay attention to what kinds of foods we're eating in the winter versus in the spring versus the summer. And then based on our dosha, our personality, we might have certain affinities towards certain foods that are really helpful for us and or that are not helpful for us, depending on how much we eat of it. So, yeah.
Wow. So tell me or tell us about eating for different seasons. First of all, does it matter, you know, if you're living in a warmer or a colder climate? Obviously, winters, you know, out here in California can be similar winter and summer. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does matter where we're living, right? So what the season is in the area that we're living and what foods are available that grow during that season. So if we follow along that idea of eating what grows in that particular season, then we're going to be good. And then, of course, the area that we're living in.
Wow. So what happens with those of us that have been gifted with some challenging children, and to get them to eat anything is impossible, especially if like my son on ADHD medicine wouldn't eat anything. So we kind of would just give him whatever he would eat, which unfortunately was pasta and had to be a particular type of pasta. What do you recommend for those parents that have this, you know, challenging journey?
I think paying attention, right? We're always paying attention to what, you know, what we need in our bodies. We want to pay attention to what we need in our bodies, and the same thing what the children need in their bodies, paying attention to what they need. So sometimes in those cases when children, a lot of the times they only want to eat carbohydrates, they only want to eat macaroni and cheese, and we can't really make them eat vegetables. So what are the ways that we could put those nutrients into their body? We might have to supplement. Ayurveda, it's not ideal. We want to get most of our nourishment from the food that we eat. But absolutely, with children that have sensitivities, we want to figure out a way to get those nutrients into their body. So we have to be creative.
And what are some ways? I always like that, you want an ice cream shake, and in there we have a little protein and we have some added vitamins that, tasted good still. But any other recommendations?
Well, there's so many different ways to supplement now. So, depending on your child's needs, I think, I want to back up a little bit because, in Ayurveda, Ayurvedic doctors, Ayurvedic practitioners actually look at your dosha, which is your personality, and based on your dosha, which the dosha is made up of the elements. So that's air, earth, fire, water, and ethers. And so if we follow the seasons also have those properties of air, earth, water, fire, and ethers. So we also do, right? So we also are made up of those elements. But some of us have a stronger combination of elements. So like for me, my dosha is fire and water. Those are my two primary elements. So when it comes to food, because I'm fire, because that's my primary, the fire energy, if I eat a lot of, let's say, spicy foods, which I really love, then I can aggravate my digestive system. I could get more irritated. I can get more upset because of the fire, like fire with fire, right? So when we're talking about the elements, we look at the elements, and then those elements help us to understand what we need. So if we're a lot of fire, we want to balance that with maybe an earthier element. So maybe I need to eat more root vegetables.
Interesting.
So,
How does one find out about their dosha?
oh my gosh, it's a little bit of a complicated practice because Ayurvedic doctors study for a long time to be able to identify this in people. But now there's all kinds of quizzes online and there's a lot of information. So anybody can find a quick Ayurvedic dosha quiz, and you can get a little bit of a understanding of what your dosha. It might not be exact, but it gives you an idea of what your primary dosha is. And then from there, then there's recommended foods based on your primary dosha. So same thing with the child, looking at their primary dosha and then looking at that list of foods that would be the best for them and trying to figure out how to incorporate those foods into their diet. So like you said, like a frozen smoothie or something like that, or adding, some green superfood into their diet somehow, if it's sprinkled on top of something else that they like, or just making something separate for them, like whatever they're willing to eat, mix some of that in there. I just made some snow ice cream yesterday, and I was putting all kinds of different little ingredients into it, and I put a blend of ashwagandha, lion's mane, shiitake mushroom, amalaki into the ice cream. So these are all Ayurvedic herbs that help with the variety of different things. I put a little sprinkle of that in my ice cream and it was so delicious, and I got to eat those herbs.
And what was the ice cream called, you said?
Snow ice cream, because we just had a snowstorm and I just made ice cream with the snow.
Where was the snowstorm? As I'm in California, we don't have snowstorms. Where are you?
In Northern Nevada.
Wow. Oh my God. So you literally use snow to make ice cream.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a whole nother conversation because I love ice cream. And then with this, you also said sleep. Right. To me, I know sleep is one of the, like, I've heard that sleep is even more important for your mental health than what you're eating. And without sleep, I would go insane. Yeah. So how does now does the dosha affect one's sleep? And if you could talk about that.
Well, the dosha, because everything looks at cycles. Everything is in cycles. So, just like the seasons, right? And then our body, what it needs is going to be seasonal as well. So with our sleep, depending on our dosha, we might have a tendency to stay up really late into the night, depending on our personality. And then if we eat too, and then there's an Ayurvedic clock too. So there's an Ayurvedic clock. And then that Ayurvedic clock gives us a guide as to what times we should be doing certain things. So the Ayurvedic clock, they recommend that we go to sleep by 10 p.m.
Everybody,
And
regardless. Everybody?
for everybody, for the most part, for everybody, by 10 p.m. Why? Because our body is doing certain functions after 10 p.m. Our liver is cleansing, like our organs are doing very important things during the after 10 p.m. So what happens when we disrupt and we sleep too late, or if, and sometimes when we sleep really late, we also eat really late. So then that's going to disrupt the functions that are required to rejuvenate that happen during sleep. So everything is connected.
Amazing. And if that, so if we're not asleep by that time, is our body still doing it, but it's not doing it optimally because we're still running around?
Exactly. Yeah, because we're not really resting, right? We're not resting. We're not going into parasympathetic nervous system arousal so that our body can rest and digest and all our organs can rejuvenate.
I love that. So let's talk about what you just said. I've always heard like fight or flight and parasympathetic, but can you explain to our friends watching and listening what that actually means?
Well, we have the central nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, these regulatory systems that help our body to function and do things that we don't have to think about, right? Our body just naturally does it. So the two systems that I'm referring to, the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system. So the sympathetic is what you're talking about as the fight, flight, or freeze, right? That's kind of the stress cycle. Or the stress part of our system that helps us to do things. It helps us to, get motivated and do the things that we have to do. We need a little bit of stress to accomplish the things that we have to do every day. And then, of course, if we're too stressed, then we're going to have increased levels of cortisol, and then that's going to cause some problems potentially. And then the other side is the parasympathetic nervous system. Arousal that allows us to rest and digest. So when our parasympathetic nervous system is engaged, we are resting, we are digesting. So if we're in fight, flight, or freeze, and we're in a stress response, our body is designed to run away from danger, from any potential danger. So when we're running from danger, our digestive system has to shut down. We cannot digest while we're running away from danger, right? So during sleep is when we can digest not just the food that we ate, but also everything that we experience during the day. We're digesting all of that. In order to digest that effectively, we have to get proper rest, which happens during sleep and meditation practices too.
Wow. And also when you say like we're digesting, also our brains are digesting the information that I had during that day, right? Is it in addition to the nutrients?
Yes, our emotions, what we're thinking about. Sometimes we'll have dreams of some of the things that we have going on in our daily lives. They're a little bit strange sometimes, but it just means we're processing what happened during the day.
Wow. Very interesting. Who are your ideal clients that you have been working with recently?
Oh my goodness. Well, right now, I think the main clients that I've worked with over the years are people that are struggling with anxiety and depression, really. The people,
Everybody.
and yeah, I mean, that's the main people that are struggling and that need support from somebody like me, because they need a little bit of guidance in terms of how to strategize moving through our nervous system reactions, our anxieties, and our sadness, our thoughts, our experiences with grief, depression, more severe aspects of sadness.
And what age range are you seeing?
Well, I primarily work with adults, women, in their 20s to in their 60s and 70s.
Wow. And I think, well, we've spoken in the past, like working with women before they become moms is amazing because you're helping them put their oxygen mask on before they bring this little innocent child into the world, right? So that's ideal, once. Yeah, hindsight's always 2020, but if I could have done something sooner, that would have been great. I know for me.
Well, it's never too late to learn how to take care of ourselves. And then when we're taking care of ourselves and we feel good as women and as moms, then we're able to be more present for our children and really attune to their needs, especially children that are struggling with mental health challenges. If we're not feeling well, if we're stressed and overwhelmed, it's how can we be present for our child that's really overwhelmed, right?
And through that, are you working with, I always say we all have big T's and little T's for traumas. So helping, people or women see their, some traumas that they've been carrying with them and how to actually release them to help them be more present for their children.
Yeah, and there's so much research on that now because we're understanding trauma a little bit more. We still don't fully understand it, but there's more strategies and tools, techniques now that people can use to help release that trauma.
And so I speak to so many people, and even before I had my mental health challenges 10 years ago, I didn't even know I had childhood trauma. My subconscious really kept it from me. So that was something I'm diving deep into. So convincing everyone that we all have some type of trauma, big or little. What are do can you share like some high level types of techniques that could help?
With trauma specifically? Oh my goodness.
Is
Well,
it
I
is that
mean,
too broad of a question?
yeah, because everybody's so different, and what people need is going to be unique depending on their specific experience. And with trauma, it's such a sensitive, delicate experience, and there's layers to it. There's layers and levels. So if we're not ready to process something that happened at a specific age, we're not going to, because our defenses are not going to allow us to do that.
I noticed for some of my clients, like they, I intuitively know what some of their traumas were. They don't, but to help them, like even receive the information, they either need to get medicated or work with, like, some type of energetic and healers so that their body can receive it without going into overload. And, wow. So we spoke about something so exciting, and I've never even heard of this medicine wheel. And what I really want to do is we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, I want you to share with our friends what the medicine wheel is. And I know you share that it looks into the body, the mind, the soul, emotions, and spirit, this whole circle of life. So if everyone can stay tuned, we'll be right back and hear some exciting news about this.
We hope that you're enjoying today's Let's Talk Wellness podcast. And if you have a topic that you would like us to explore, we would love to hear from you. Simply email us at info@elfempowers.org. That's info@elfempowers.org. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Wellness. I'm your host, Mara James, and today we have Dr. Anna with us. Hi, Dr. Anna, again.
Yes, hi.
So, can you share with us all about what a medicine wheel is? Because it's such a foreign term to many of us.
Yeah, so the medicine wheel is an indigenous concept, and it was really taught and shared by the Lakota people from North Dakota, South Dakota. And what they share is this wheel, this circle, this sacred circle, the circle of life that helps us to understand ourselves, to look at ourselves from deeper perspectives. I like to think about the medicine wheel as a mirror. When I work with myself and with my clients, it's a mirror, so it allows me to see myself. And so we use the medicine wheel as a tool and as a guide to help us understand ourselves and what area of our lives we need to pay attention to come into balance and harmony within ourselves.
Wow. Will you? I know some people listening to this, they won't be able to see it, but if you can do a screen share for people watching on YouTube and of course explaining it so people watching it, listening to it will understand.
Yes, here we go.
Okay. The sacred circle. Go on.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different representations of the medicine wheel. This one is fun because we look at these concentric circles and we can see how this depicts everything connects with each other, right? Everything is connected. So this is several circles. What I'm showing is several circles overlapping with each other. And so each one of these represents one aspect of the medicine wheel. So we have the body. So our body receives messages, information, right? Our body receives pain signals and tells us when something's wrong. So we're receiving that information from our body, from, and then we have our emotions, our emotional body, our emotional awareness, what we're feeling, what we're sensing, how we're feeling. And then we have the mind, our thoughts, and our thoughts are going to impact our emotions. Our emotions are going to impact our body. Our mind is also going to impact our emotions and our body. And then our essence is like, that unique aspect of who we are. It's like we all have our own very unique essence, and that essence is what we call like the spirit part of us, that spirit, that energy that is our essence, and that connects us with something bigger than us. And in the medicine wheel, we look at nature, we look at the directions, so we look at the north, the east, the south, and the west. And then depending on what tribe specifically you're talking about, every tribe will have different animals that they'll talk about that represent those directions. And so through that, we use all of those as mirrors. So for example, at the mind level, at the mind, we have the animal, the eastern direction, and we have the eagle. And so if we look at the eastern direction, we look at new beginnings, right? Every day the sun rises from the east, and we have new beginnings. And then and the eagle comes in that direction. The eagle is a very powerful being that is able to see also new perspectives, right? It gives us an opportunity to look at ourselves from a new perspective. So this is the mind has this ability, right? It's our mind that lets us to direct how we feel about things, right? Or how we see things. So sometimes we need to look at how we're thinking about things and notice where we're not thinking about things in a right way, or let's say in a maladaptive way. And so then we address our thoughts and say, well, what, how can I change my thoughts? What, how can I look at the situation differently? And so that's the energy of the East, that's the energy of the rising sun, and then the energy of eagle. That takes, eagles can fly really high up in the sky. And from really high up in the sky, they're able to look down, way down into the ground to find their prey, right? They have eagle eye, perfect vision. So that energy helps us to see ourselves from that perspective, a new perspective, and taking a look from the outside in, like stepping outside of our situation so that we can look at how can I look at this in a different way to get myself out of this rut or out of this negative thinking cycle? That's just one example. The medicine wheel is a very complex and a beautiful way to analyze ourselves and say, hey, what's going on with me? Where am I out of balance? Is it my body? Is it my emotions? Is it my thoughts? Is it something going on? Does my essence, does my being need something? Like, do I need to go play in the ocean? Do I need to go paint something? Do I need to go run? What do I need to do to help myself feel inspired and excited about life?
Wow. And then, so you were saying the north, south, east, west. Is that something that somebody's trained to work with medicine wheels can help guide a person to see, like, which one they are?
I think now because the Lakota have been very generous, anybody can do it. If you look up online and if you look up the Lakota medicine wheel, you can find information and just look at it, and you can do this yourself. The Lakota, I actually found a website the other day, and they say, look at it yourself and look at yourself. So it's not anything necessarily that's you need to go to, but certainly when we need support from somebody and we want to look at it from this model, yes, you want to find somebody that can guide you and support you.
What beautiful. So you have here the mind and the emotions. This might be a silly question. Like emotions come from the heart, but what is the difference of the mind versus the emotions?
Well, the mind is our thoughts, right? Our what we're thinking about.
Versus what we're feeling.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then our
Interesting.
body is what we're sensing, right?
Right.
And then also the body is our behaviors, like how we're behaving, the physical things that we're doing. And how is that driven by our emotions and our mind? Or not, maybe we're doing things like especially with children, sometimes we're not aware if we're upset or if we're having a bad day, we might not be aware of how we're reacting to a certain situation. And then after a little while, we say, "Oh my gosh, I messed up. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that." When we have a little bit of space to look at it, then we can see that, and then the next time we can change, right? So this is all about awareness.
It's self-awareness a lot, right? And I love it, putting our oxygen mask on first, just so before we could help anybody, whether it's a spouse, a child, any friends and all that. A lot of times I know, especially so many women, I feel that, they do so much for so many others and not themselves. Does that
Yeah.
make
Yeah, we're so socialized to take care of others, and then we sacrifice ourselves through nurturing and taking care of others, and then we burn out. That's what happens. We burn out and we're overwhelmed and we need medication and we feel like we're going crazy. And then when we start the transition into menopause, then it takes us for another loop.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. Wow. So if you were talking to a 10-year-old child, how would you use the sacred circle of life, and what would you say to them about it?
Well, children are so imaginative, so it would be easy to talk about the animals that represent the medicine wheel. That's where I would go to first with the child, is to talk about the animals and say, well, what is, ask them, what does this animal do, and how do you feel when you're looking at this animal or when you see this animal, and how can you bring that into your day or into your play? And I would do that with breathing exercises, like teaching them some breath work, because it's important for children to learn how to self-regulate. And through the animals, through the play of working with the animals, like how would this animal do this? And I think that's a
They
really
make it
fun way
really
to
fun,
work with
their
kids.
language. I love that.
Yes,
So
yes.
let's, yeah, they always say the breath of life. So let's talk about breath work and what you recommend for, different ages, the importance of it and the benefits.
I had a friend teach me. She was teaching young kids this what she called the bear breath, the bear breathing. And so, so it's kind of an exaggerated Buddha breath. If anybody's ever heard of the Buddha breath, it's like when you place your hands on your belly and you let your belly go really big, like those little depictions of the Buddha. He has a really big, happy belly. So we play with the breath like that, and think about the bear and what kinds of sounds the bear would make, and embody that creature. So we can play with our belly, touching ourselves, touching our own physical body, and then taking our claws out and breathing like a bear.
That is so funny. And I think I shared with you, Extraordinary Life Foundation has their mascot, Piggy Bear. And Piggy Bear teaches young children, like 3 to 7 year olds, Piggy Bear breathing, which is deep belly breathing. So I love
Yes.
that. Like, Piggy Bear is part of the real bear. Like, it's a known thing. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, that's perfect.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. And for breathing, for breath work for children and for adults, what's the maximum, not maximum, what's the minimum or the ideal time for that you would recommend somebody does that?
As long as, depending on the child's age and how long they can pay attention, there was one, I remember one exercise for children. With like pretending that you're blowing bubbles, right? Or even just blowing bubbles, getting those little bubbles and blowing bubbles. And that's another way to do breath. You're doing breath work by blowing the bubbles, right? But it's making it a game, making it fun. And you can teach the child how to exaggerate that breath. And I think
That's
that's a cool
amazing.
way.
And is it important for them to breathe into the belly versus the chest when they're doing that?
Yeah, so we want to teach them to breathe through the belly, because when we're breathing through the chest, that's what can create more anxiety. And so we really want to make sure that we are teaching children how to breathe from the belly, and the belly as a center. It's easy for us as we grow up, we want to suck our belly in all the time so that we can look really
Right.
cute. But it's counterintuitive to actually how our breath naturally breathes. If you see a baby, newborn babies, they're always breathing from their belly, and then they learn how to breathe differently.
It's amazing that those cute bellies, like, because we're always, like holding the stomach in, and it definitely is opposite of what we should be doing. And what about, can you share with us some self-care tips for parents and adults in general?
So aside from the three pillars, right, looking at our nutrition and eating really well, sleeping really well, and everything in moderation, things
Everything.
that everything in moderation, whatever we're doing in moderation, whatever we're doing in moderation, because that's what creates dis-ease when we're overdoing things.
Dis-ease meaning disease in the body, mind, right? Interesting. And I think, what about, for some those of us that there's usually something that we aren't doing in moderation, like analyzing why and looking how to heal or fix that, right?
And we're having compassion for ourselves. I think that's like the number one self-care strategy is when we're looking at these things about ourselves, really find ways to have compassion for ourselves because we tend to be our own biggest worst critic.
Amen. I love that you're sharing that. I was just on with a client this morning and she's telling me, and I, oh my God, I did this and that. And I go, okay, let's turn it around. I'm you and you're me. And I'm telling you, and I repeat back what she said to me. What would you tell me? And they're just always loving and kind, but we don't talk to ourselves like that. We're so harsh. Why is that in our DNA? Why do we have that inner critic?
Well, some of what I've studied is looking at our programming, and we're hardwired to remember the dangerous things, the bad things, we're hardwired to remember that. So we have to retrain ourselves to look at things positively. And looking at things negatively, that's a survival mechanism. But in our modern society, it doesn't really work.
And who wants, I want to move past surviving and I want to thrive, right? And our minds definitely, in those thoughts in our head. I mean, it's unbelievable how it really can squash parents and anybody, whatever they're trying to grow and develop in. Wow. What's another aspect here would you would recommend?
Well, I always go back to those elements. So air, earth, fire, water, ethers. So we can use any of those elements to help us bring into balance. So for example, with water, so taking a warm bath with Epsom salt, or if we don't have a bathtub, soaking our feet in Epsom salt with maybe even some gentle plants like lavender or chamomile and putting that in the water to help us relax. Similarly, by drinking teas like that at night, just having a cup of tea in the evening to help our body start to prepare to go to sleep and relax and slow down our thoughts. In terms of that critic that you're talking about, there's an exercise that we practice in yoga and in other classes to look ourselves in the mirror and say, I love you.
Ah, I love it. Woo. Yeah, we're talking to a mother and she's like, oh, my daughter and I don't have a great relationship. She's probably like in her young 20s or older teens. And I'm like, okay, I want you to tell me three amazing things about you. And I just wanted to cry because she was just looking at me. I'm like, honey, if you don't love yourself, how can she love you? Right? And I, oh, that's so beautiful. That wow. So okay, I want to get back to the water. I love that. So what about, like, what's an air element that would be good? Is that like the breath work?
The breath work, yes, the breath work, anything that we can do with the breath work. So exercising, right? Getting our heart rate going, that's going to get our breath moving. Our yoga practice, whatever, Pilates, whatever you like to do, whatever exercise you like to do, that's going to get your air breath moving. With the fire, cooking. I mean, cooking intentionally, right?
Oh God, no. Is there another option? Please don't let my husband know because he knows I dislike cooking. Is there another option? Fire? I'll go light a fire.
Lighting a fire or just sitting with a candle and
Oh.
thinking about the things that are not serving us, maybe writing it down and then letting it burn safely in the fire.
Oh, that's beautiful. That feels good. I love it. There was a fourth one before ethers. What was water, air, fire,
Earth.
earth, earth.
So with the earth, there's been that whole movement of earthing that's been around for a bit, but anything that we can do with the earth, So that could be gardening, putting our hands in the soil, or walking barefoot on the ocean. Anything that we can do to help us actually put part of our body in the earth.
Yeah, earthing, I haven't heard. I know grounding, but I'm assuming it's the same thing. Grounding into
I
nature.
think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, there's a documentary with the title Earthing and a
Oh.
book that goes with it. So it's probably
Beautiful.
the same thing, but this specifically is
Yeah.
that. Yeah.
I love it. And ethers, share with us about that.
So ethers is space. So, this has to do with like the cosmos, the cosmic universe. And so for ether or for space ether, I think, we can look at that as giving ourselves space, giving ourselves the time and space to honor the things that we're going through and to pause and to slow down and to look at the medicine wheel so that we can, shift from whatever rut that we're in or what area that we need to, to bring inspiration and light into.
I love that. And there's that saying, we're human beings, not human doings, but those of us that do and do and do, the more we do, I feel like we're trying not to look in and we're just focusing our energies outward. So that makes perfect sense. Dasha, Anna,
Yes.
what is the best way for people to get in touch with you?
Probably my website. So my website is doctoraluna.space, so DRALUNA dot space.
Okay, beautiful. We'll put the website in the show information also. And I want to say thank you so much for joining us today and for our friends watching and listening to us. You are amazing.
Beautiful. It was such a pleasure to chat with you today. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Let's Talk Wellness. This podcast has been brought to you by the Extraordinary Lives Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. If you would like to listen to more conversations like this, we invite you to subscribe to our mailing list at www.elfempowers.org to be notified when our episodes are published. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you our next conversation on Let's Talk Wellness.